We're glad to have you this morning. Good to see all of you. Good to be able to be with you and preach the gospel, but more importantly, to worship with you, to sing with you and pray with you and partake of the Lord's Supper, remember His death this morning. There are a lot of things that we could talk about when we serve the Lord, but one of the things that we need to be aware of is that we're responsible for certain things. You know, we live in a society where a lot of people don't want to be responsible for anything. When something happens, they blame it on somebody else. They won't take the consequence of what they do or don't want to because they don't believe they're responsible for anything. But the Bible certainly teaches us that we're responsible for certain things. When we use the word responsibility, like we have on the screen behind us, that word simply means answerable for something. You're responsible for what you know. You're responsible for what you do. It means you're answerable for that. You're accountable for it. We talk about responsibility. We're talking about being dependable sometimes. You're responsible, like a mother is responsible for taking care of her children. She ought to be dependable. She's responsible for that. And it means that you're reliable, that you can rely on somebody because they know what they're doing. They're responsible for this activity or taking care of this particular activity. And you think they're reliable. And that's why in business, those of you that have business or when you've been over certain employees, you know that you expect them to do certain things when you're trained to do it. You expect them also to be reliable, that you can depend on them, that you don't have to do everything for yourself. We also, when we think about responsibility, we're talking about people who are stable. Like I said, you can depend upon them, are trustworthy. The Lord expects us to be responsible for the fact that we said we'd be faithful to Him. When we say we're going to commit our souls in well-doing to a faithful Creator, that He can trust us that we're going to do that. When we make that commitment, that we'll keep our commitment. And Christians must always recognize that. We have to recognize always that our responsibility depends upon something. It depends upon our ability to do certain things. Jesus said to Peter on one occasion, till I come, what is that to thee? He's talking about, if I will that they tarry, these individuals do, you're responsible for what you're supposed to do, Peter, and they're responsible for what they're supposed to do. And in Romans 14, verse 12, the Apostle Paul said, each one of us shall give account unto God for the things that we've been responsible for or according to our ability. Account of himself unto God. That's what we're going to have to do, give an account. Well, one of those things has to do with our ability. In Matthew 25 and verse 15, Jesus Christ was talking about ability when he gave the talents to various ones. He tells the story of a master giving talents. One gave five, one to one he gave five, to another two, and to another one. The Bible says each according to his ability. That means he was responsible for taking care of that because he had the ability to do it. Now, we know the five-talent man fulfilled his responsibility in taking care of the five talents. We know the two-talent man did. We know that the one-talent man did not take care of that. He didn't keep that which he had. In fact, he put it in the earth, didn't he? He dug a hole, stuck it in the earth, and said, you have your own. He didn't use his ability, and Jesus said to him, you should have given it to the bankers and I would have received back my own with interest. In other words, you had the ability to do that. You didn't use any of it. You could have at least done that. You were responsible for doing something with a talent, basically, is what the Lord is saying. Well, we're responsible for our ability, but we're also responsible for the opportunities we have, and we're responsible to do the opportunities or fulfill the opportunities like this. The sign says responsibility depends on opportunity. And it does. It depends on opportunity. So that's what the screen is telling us. But why do we know that's the case? In Galatians 6 and verse 10, the Apostle Paul was writing to the Galatians. He says, so then, as we have opportunity, let us work that which is good unto all men. So what we're talking about is responsibility depends on opportunity. What I mean by that is you might not have the opportunity sometimes to even do what your ability is. You might have the ability to teach, but there might not be anybody to teach. You might try your best to get people to have a Bible class with you, and they may not do it. So it depends upon your opportunity. If you have the opportunity, but if people are willing to, then we ought to realize we're responsible to do that. Like a father is responsible to bring his children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. If he doesn't have children, he's not going to be able to do that. So his opportunity has to do with whether or not he has children. The mother who has faith, like the grandmother and mother of Timothy, they show that faith to their son. And Paul said, I'm persuaded that you have the same faith because they had it. Well, that's because they availed themselves of their opportunities. They showed their faith to Timothy. They availed themselves of the opportunity, and now he has the same faith that they have. So when we talk about responsibility, it has to do with whether or not we have ability to start with. We may not all have the ability to be song leaders. We may not be able to do that. It may be that we can sing, but maybe we don't know the notes. Maybe we don't know the music. Maybe we're not able to do that. We can follow somewhat, but we can't lead singing because we don't know. And maybe we'll pitch the song wrong all the time because we don't know anything about pitching or any of those things. But when we have opportunity and have ability, we ought to fulfill that ability. That's the idea that the Bible is talking about. We ought to be accountable to that. We ought to be trustworthy. People ought to be able to depend on us when we have an opportunity. We ought to fulfill the opportunity. But in order to do that, in order to be able to fulfill that opportunity, we have to know something. We have to have knowledge. We've got to know something about the subject. If we don't know anything about the subject, it doesn't take a person on the other side very long to realize he doesn't know what he's talking about. Have you ever said that? I know her more about than that. He doesn't really know that, or she doesn't really know that. In other words, she can't teach if she doesn't have the knowledge. He can't instruct if he doesn't have the knowledge, doesn't have the wherewithal to be able to do that. In Luke, the 12th chapter, verse 47, Jesus Christ was speaking. He says, that servant who knew his Lord's will and made not ready, nor did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. In other words, he knew what he was supposed to do. He was responsible for what he knew, but he didn't follow what he knew. And he's going to be beaten with many stripes, but he went ahead to say in verse 48, and to whomsoever much is given, much shall be required. That's what he said. So the person who has knowledge, God requires of him to use that knowledge because he now has the ability and the opportunity avails itself unto him. So he uses his knowledge to do what he ought to do. It may be to teach. It may be to instruct. It may be to be an example or just simply be a good influence. But he uses his knowledge to do the things he ought to do. James says, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. In James 4 and verse 17. So it's God looks upon it as a sin if we have the knowledge to do what's right and we don't do it. Some people have the knowledge. Some people can quote the passage, the Bible, just as well as somebody who's doing what's right, but they're not doing right. But they know exactly what the Bible teaches. They know what they ought to do, but they ignore that. They have the knowledge. God says, if you've got the knowledge and don't use it, to that person it becomes sin. That's what he said. If you know what to do and don't do it, to him it is sin, he says. But not only must we have knowledge, we're all responsible. As I said, first of all, we're responsible for the knowledge that we ought to have. We're responsible for our knowledge. I mentioned that just a moment ago. We need to have the knowledge to be able to teach, but we're responsible for that knowledge. In other words, we're responsible for learning. What Paul said to Timothy is true about all of us. He said, till I come, give heed to reading. In other words, Timothy, you've got the manuscripts out here. You read them. Why? Because if you study them, you'll present yourself approved unto God. That's what he said when he said, study or give diligence to present yourself approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed. What's he talking about? You are responsible for knowledge. It's there. You can receive it if you'll just study it. So you need to read. Why do we need to read the Bible? Because that's how we get the knowledge of what God wants us to do. He speaks to us through his word. And one of the things we need to realize, if we reject the teaching of the Lord, if we reject his word, he'll also reject us in the day of judgment. That's what Jesus said himself. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my word hath one that judgeth him. What's going to judge him? The word that I spake, the same shall judge him in the last day. So we're going to be judged by whether or not we have the knowledge we ought to have. Now, folks, all of us can have the knowledge God wants us to have. He has not written His book in language that we cannot discern. He's not used $50 adjectives, as I like to use them sometimes, as some people do it. We have to have a dictionary to look up the words if we can. He's not done that. He has used the words that we can understand. Jesus spoke in the common language of the day, called Koine Greek, if you'd like to know what it's called. Koine Greek, which was the common language of the people in which He lived. In other words, He spoke on their level. Now, Jesus Christ could have spoken on PhD level, but He didn't. He could have used other language if He wanted to. He could have used all those big words. Have you ever seen a sentence that has all these big words in it and you don't understand a thing and you get your dictionary out to do it? If a preacher did that, you wouldn't have time to look at all the words, would you? So you wouldn't understand that. What I'm simply saying is we're responsible for the knowledge because we can gain and glean that knowledge. We're responsible for the things that we need to know. In Acts the 17th chapter and verse 30, Luke recorded that there was a time when God overlooked ignorance. But He doesn't do that anymore. He said, but now He commendeth men that they should everywhere repent. That all of them should everywhere repent. How are they going to do that? They've got to have knowledge. They're responsible for knowing about God. Well, how can we know about God? By beginning with Genesis 1 and verse 1. In the beginning, God. And from that verse throughout the book of Genesis all the way to the end of the very last verse of the book of Revelation, we learn about God. When we look at the Old Testament, the things that were written aforetime were written for our learning. That's knowledge, folks. We learn how God acted in the Old Testament, what He did with His people. We understand what God expected of His people. When we gain that knowledge, we learn that God expects this. What does He expect? He expects what we can read in His Word, what He tells us to do. That's what He expects. Have you ever said this with regard to a certain person? Maybe you're working with somebody and said, why are you doing that? Well, they expect me to do this. You may not use that term, but you say, this is my job. This is what I was hired to do. And the reason you're able to do it is because you're responsible for knowledge. And every Christian is responsible for knowledge. He has to learn what God would have to say, but then he has to put it into use. He has to do that. So every Christian is not only responsible for knowledge, but he's also responsible for making it part of his faith. Every Christian is responsible for faith. That is, belief. The belief that he has, whether or not his belief is upon what man has to say or his belief is built upon what God has to say. We're responsible for our faith. We're going to be judged by our faith, by what we believe, whether it's the Word of God or something else. In James 2 and verse 14, James says, what does it profit, my brethren? If a man says he has faith and has not works, can that faith save him? What James is saying to those people to whom he's writing, you can't say you have faith and then not let that faith move you to do the things you ought to do. In other words, what he's saying is Bible faith works. It's not a passive thing. If I claim I have faith in the Lord, I'm going to do the things the Lord would have me do. And the proof of whether or not I have faith in the Lord is my actions. Because they betray whether or not I have faith. And so every Christian is responsible for faith. I'm responsible for believing the Word of God. It's not like some people say, well, I was just sitting there and the Lord came down on me and He saved me and I didn't know anything. No, I'm responsible for knowing what I need to know in order to go to heaven one day. I'm responsible for committing my soul in well-doing to a faithful Creator. That passage we were talking about a while ago that Peter used. He told a group of people, you're responsible for that. He said, you need to commit your soul. Well, you can't do that if you don't know how to commit. If you don't know what it means to commit your soul. So we're responsible then for faith. For our own faith. For our subjective faith. And our subjective faith needs to be built upon the words of Almighty God. That's where we get our faith. We put our faith in the words. We listen to the words. All of us remember when we were in school, and we're responsible for our words. We are responsible for them. We all remember when we were in school that we listened diligently
particularly if we like the subject. We listen diligently to what the teacher had to say, and now we can use those words today. Your parents, as they raised you, you listened to their words, to their teaching, we might say, to their words and to their example, and today you use some of the same principles that they use. Why? Because you listened to what they had to say. Or you observed what they had to say. They spoke words to you, and those words, at least now we know, they're very important. Have you ever said, I wish I had listened then, back then sometime? Because now you realize what those words were very important. And you have to go back and maybe reread and restudy when you could have had all that at the beginning, but you didn't like the subject. I don't like to hear that. Did you ever sit in a class in school and just wish it was over? Or did we sit in a class in school and say, wish it lasted 2 hours instead of one? Probably most of us didn't ever say that. But the fact of the matter is, what was being taught, if we had a teacher that represented knowledge and that really wanted to impart knowledge to us, they were speaking words to us so that we could use those words later on. The reason you can write a sentence, folks, is because somebody taught you that. Somebody said that to you. Somebody told you what words to use. Somebody told you about nouns and verbs and direct objects and all those kind of things. And you may not, as you write a sentence, say, now this is a noun and this is a verb and direct object, but you just write them. Why? Because you listened. Or maybe you read it. And those, you're responsible for those words now because you have the knowledge to use those words. You're responsible for those words. That's what you are. Well, Jesus even said we're responsible for our words, didn't he? In Matthew 12, verses 36 and 37. He said, every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. You need to be careful about the words you use, Jesus said. Words are powerful, very powerful. And Jesus said you're going to be held accountable for what you speak. You'll give an account thereof in the day of judgment. He said, for by the words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned, he said in Matthew, the 12th chapter and verse 37. So we're going to be condemned or justified by the words we use. When we tell somebody you can go to heaven doing thus and thus and thus, we're going to be judged by those words. Because we might be telling somebody that's false, we're going to be judged by the words we speak. In the Old Testament, that was even so. God expected his prophets to speak, to be a watchman, and to speak to individuals when they were doing wrong. And he said, if you don't do that, their blood shall be on your head. That's what God said. If you don't want the blood of people to be on your head, you're responsible for the words you use with regard to people. So Christians are responsible for their words. We need to remember that. That's why we need to be careful about the speech we use. When you hear somebody cursing the Lord or using the Lord's name in vain, they're going to be held accountable for that. We need to remember that we're held accountable for our words. But not only are we held accountable for our words, we're also accountable for teaching the right words. Christians are going to be held accountable for their are responsible, rather, for the teaching that they do. What kind of teaching that they do? In 1 Peter 4 and verse 11, the Apostle Peter put it like this. He said, if any man speaks, let him speak, what? The oracles of God. The commands of God, the words of God. You could put any of those words in there. But if any man speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If you're going to speak, you're responsible for teaching. Your teaching has to be the words of God, the oracles of God. You would expect a preacher when he stands before us not to preach his personal opinion, not to preach what he's read in some novel somewhere, but you would expect him to preach the word of God. He's responsible for his teaching. And we understand that. And if someone teaches something that's false, we say, look, that's not right. Well, how do we know it's right? Because what the Bible says. Jeff, you said this morning, we have to test, don't we? We have to test those who teach. Test what's being put out there. We are responsible for the teaching. Teachers are responsible. In fact, James says, don't be many of you teachers knowing you'll receive a heavier judgment. The judgment is you're going to be held accountable for what you teach. So we are responsible for what we teach. We have to be careful about what we teach. In Hebrews 13, verse 17, The apostle said, obey them that have the rule over you and submit to you, for they watch on behalf of your soul. We are accountable for what is being taught, but we're also accountable for the teaching. The Bible says, obey them that have the rule over you. In other words, that would be the apostles, that would be Jesus Christ, that would be the elders of a congregation if they're teaching the truth. Obey them that have the rule over you. In the physical realm, that would be mothers and fathers for children. Obey your father and mother in the Lord, for this is right, the Apostle Paul said. So we're accountable for the teaching that we have. We're responsible for that teaching. But if we're responsible for the teaching, if we accept the teaching, then we become responsible for our conduct, the way we act. And we're going to know how we ought to act because we've been taught, you see. Because we have the words of God, because we have faith in God, because we walk by faith and not by sight. So what we're going to do is our conduct is going to reflect what the Bible teaches. In Romans the 14th chapter and verse 13, the Apostle Paul was speaking to Christians and said, don't put any kind of a stumbling block in your brother's way. Don't put any occasion of falling in your brother's way. What he's talking about there is influence. So I guess I could say we're responsible for our influence rather than the word conduct. But we are responsible for our conduct. The Bible says we cannot put anything in the way of those who are trying to serve the Lord that would cause them to fall. We can't put any kind of a stumbling block in our brother's way. You know, the Apostle Paul was very clear about that when he said, I will eat meat nevermore if it should cause my brother to stumble or to fall. What was he talking about there in the 1 Corinthians letter? Well, some people thought it was wrong to eat meat. Some of the Gentiles did, and the reason they did is they had been taught that the meats that were offered in the marketplace, that those meats that they would buy had been offered to idols, and they weren't about to eat them. They thought that all meat was impure because basically it was used in sacrifices to idols. Paul had to deal with that. Why, as he says, the meat doesn't mean anything as far as God's concerned. He doesn't care whether you eat it or not, basically is what he said. But at the same time, he said, if it should cause my brother to stumble, I won't ever eat meat again. Well, what this is talking about is we're responsible for our conduct. Here's the Apostle Paul, who's an apostle. He's the one who taught the Corinthians, didn't he? He preached to the Corinthians, and him eating meat could cause someone to defile their conscience, to do something they thought was wrong. And so he says, I'm not going to eat meat anymore if it caused my brother to stumble. I'm responsible for my conduct, is basically what he's saying. I'm not going to do that. And had he caused his brother to stumble, he would have received the retribution from God because he caused that. And that blood of that person who sinned would be on him, not only on the person, but upon him. Because he didn't watch his conduct. Well, that's why I said we're responsible for our influence. You see, I said conduct and influence, and here's influence. We are responsible for our influence, aren't we? That's what we're responsible for. You can't cause a brother to stumble. You're responsible for that. You cannot do that. You're responsible for your conduct. And as we're responsible for our conduct, we're very careful of what we do. Mothers and dads, a lot of times, when they have to talk about certain things, they go in another room and don't talk about it in front of their children. Why? Because they don't want to influence their children wrong. The child may not understand. He may get the wrong impression about something, so they don't do it. And they're very careful about their influence upon children. They want to have the right kind of influence like the grandmother did and the mother did to Timothy so that he would have the same faith as we were talking about earlier. Well, not only are we responsible for our conduct and our influence, we're also responsible for our stewardship. In other words, we have a responsibility. Somebody's given us a responsibility, and we have a responsibility. What was it Paul told Timothy? The things you've heard from me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, and they'll what? Teach others also. That's stewardship. You have a responsibility, Timothy, to present what I've taught you. I've taught you, then you teach faithful men, and in turn they'll teach others also. That's stewardship. I put that upon. This is your responsibility. You have a responsibility to be faithful as a steward. That's exactly what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 4. He told Timothy that, but he also told the Corinthians that. He said, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. And I've told you the word faithful means trustworthy. I put this upon you. You be trustworthy. You do what I say. The Apostle Paul was told, I've sent you before the Gentiles and kings of Israel. I've told you to speak unto them, to preach repentance unto them, Jesus said. That's what he said to him in a vision. He told him that. Later on, the Apostle Paul said, I've not been disobedient to the heavenly vision. What are you saying, Paul? I kept the stewardship. I did exactly what God gave me the responsibility to do. So it's responsibility. We have a responsibility for our stewardship. Whatever our stewardship is, one of the things is to teach others. One of the things is to be faithful or trustworthy in the thing that God wants us to do. In 1 Peter 4, when the Apostle Peter was speaking in verses 7 through 10, we'll not look at all of them, when he said, above all things, be fervent in love among yourselves. Here's stewardship. Be fervent, be vigilant in love among yourselves. He says, use hospitality one to another without murmuring. According as each one has received a gift, minister it among yourselves as good stewards of the manifold wisdom of God, or grace of God. We are stewards of the grace of God. It's not just the preacher and the elders and the Bible class teachers that are stewards. We all are. When the Apostle Peter's writing, he's not writing just to another preacher. He's not writing just to a Bible class teacher. He's talking to all those pilgrims that were scattered abroad. And he's telling them that they are to be good stewards of the manifold grace of God. What does that mean? You show this grace to others. You're a good steward. You be faithful to the favor of God. God's favored you. You be faithful. You show your stewardship. You be a good steward with regard to that, he says. Well, what does that mean? It means we can't shift our responsibilities. It means we can't put it on somebody else. This is what I was talking about earlier. A lot of people don't want to be responsible today. They want to shift that responsibility to somebody. It's the government's job. It's mom's job. It's dad's job. It's the workplace job. It's the school's job. Sometimes parents want to put everything off on the school, or they want to put everything off on the church rather than fulfill their responsibility. But each one of us has a responsibility. We cannot shift our responsibilities. We can't do that. That's exactly what Adam and Eve tried to do in one sense, didn't they? When God found them doing what they weren't supposed to do, one of them said, well, the serpent. Well, it's true, the serpent did do that. But she was trying to, in a sense, shift her responsibility to the serpent. And then when Adam was asked about it, he said, well, the woman gave it to me. That's what he said. So they were shifting the responsibility. Instead of the woman saying, well, I'll tell you what, Lord, I just shouldn't have believed it. I knew better than that. No, the serpent beguiled me. And yeah, that's true, he did. He beguiled her. He tricked her. That's what the Apostle Paul said he did. He tricked her. But the fact of the matter is, she didn't take the responsibility on herself. When she was asked about it, she put the responsibility on the serpent. Well, he had some responsibility. Don't misunderstand. But so did she. She had some responsibility. And she could not shift her responsibility. And she suffered the consequence of what she did. Maybe the serpent shouldn't have said that. Right, he shouldn't have. Maybe she shouldn't have given in. Right, she shouldn't have. Maybe she was tricked. Right, she shouldn't have been tricked. But the fact is, she was responsible for what she knew. And she told the serpent in the beginning, God said this. So she knew what she ought to do. And we're responsible too. When you were growing up, did your mother and dad ever punish you in a certain way because you did something that you knew better? And did they ever say to you, I told you this? You know what they're saying when they say, I told you? You knew it. You knew it. And you went ahead against it anyway. That's what they're telling you. You knew it. I told you. I took time to teach you. And that parents are responsible, aren't they, to teach? We talked about that earlier. We're responsible. We can't shift our responsibility onto anyone. For each man shall bear his own burden, the Apostle Paul said in Galatians 6 and verse 5. We can't shift our responsibility. We can't do that. So each Christian must bear his own or her own burden. We're going to bear our own burden. That's what Paul said in Galatians 6 and verse 2. That's what he said. Each one will bear his own burden. That's what he's going to do. And in verse 5, that's what we're going to do. Each one must bear his own burden. What's our burden? Well, it's our responsibility. And that's what we were talking about this morning. It's our responsibility. We're all going to bear our own burden. We're all responsible for the things we talked about this morning. So let's make certain that our responsibility is what it ought to be, and let's serve the Lord in the way that we ought to be serving the Lord. Let's do that as we sing our invitation song in just a moment. What are we responsible for? Well, Jesus said, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Jesus said, "I'll give you rest," but what are we responsible for? Well, he said, "You've got to come. I'm not doing it all for you." He's already done everything he's going to do. He died on the cross for us. He shed his blood for us. But we've got to receive that. We've got to receive that sacrifice in the sense that we're amenable to what Jesus tells us to do. So that's what we have to do. And our song is basically talking about that. Our song is basically talking about we long to see certain things. We want to see heaven. How are we going to see heaven? Well, we have to be faithful till we die. Revelation 2:10, and then we receive the crown of life. And how do we do that? By listening to what God has to say, and then we're responsible for it. And I would suggest that everybody that's in here this morning understands that, don't you? That you were responsible for your own life, and that's why you obeyed the gospel. You realize that you were sinners, and you wanted to eradicate the sin. You wanted to be forgiven of the sin. Didn't those people want that on the day of Pentecost when they said, "Men and brethren, what must we do?" And when the Apostle Peter said, "Repent, be baptized for remission of your sin," did they not gladly receive his word and they were baptized and the Lord added them to the saved? That's Acts 2. And that can happen to you this morning. If that's what you need, or whatever you need, make sure that whatever you need to do, recognizing you're responsible for it, do it so you can go to heaven when you die. So that someday the Lord can reach his hand out to you and say, "Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." And he'll do that if you're responsible. Can I help you be that way?